at DennisJBernstein@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 10 o'clock, or 11 o'clock, I'm sorry. Coming up next on Stage and Studio, we welcome actor, director, and singer Vin Chambry to talk about the production of Othello, the remix, at Portland Actors Conservatory. At 11:30, it's Art Focus. They talk to curator Maribeth Graybill about the Portland Art Museum's show, Poetic Imagination in Japanese Art. KABU programming is made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate.
I'm Demi Roberts, Stage and Studio. You're listening to music from the Portland Actors Conservatory's production of Othello, the Remix. Hey, I'm here in my office studio, and I can't believe who is with me right now. The incomparable Vin Chambry. Oh my gosh, he's here in my office studio. What a pleasure to have you here, Vin. Welcome to my home.
Thank you. You make me blush.
And to Stage and Studio. No, I've been a fan of yours for a very long time, and I don't think we've ever had a conversation together. You've been on my show when somebody else was guest hosting, but I don't think we've, you know, except passing back and forth between hallways and stuff.
That's right. But, oh, I know you. So, yes, it's been great. I've been in a few shows where I know directors have had interviews with you, and I've heard your amazing voice, so it's nice to see you in the flesh.
Well, it's you're just so great. I mean, I've, like I said, been a fan of yours, of all of your acting work, and we're going to talk about that as well later on. You're a nationally recognized actor, director, singer, and storyteller, which I didn't know that you were on The Moth, of all things, and that you've done that pretty regularly. Actually, when did you start doing The Moth?
Funny story. About 4 years ago, in Portland and all around America, they have story slams, which is basically you can come, and if you have a story, you can do it. And I was like, I'm not doing this. I went with my wife. She was like, come on, Vin. You know you have a bunch of stories. And I was like, okay, if there's Jack Daniels, maybe I might do one. So I ended up, they called my name in a hat, and I told a story about blackface at University of Wyoming, and I actually won that story slam. And my story that actually is viewing right now, and even the story out, it's called Outdoor School, and it is going to be in the 2019 Moth book, which is really exciting. And it's a story of my life when I was 12, going to outdoor camp for 7 days. And when I was a kid, we were homeless half the time. And basically the story is living life as a child for 7 days and forgetting about all my responsibilities as a young black kid in the ghetto in Portland, Oregon. And it's kind of like that dichotomy, living with that. And here I am, 36 years old, still dealing with that today.
Well, I actually was a camp counselor. I don't think I had you, but my camp name was Moonshine.
Oh my gosh. Which camp? Which one?
Oh, it was a long time ago, way before your time. But yeah, that was like when I was in high school and we were camp counselors, you know. And I wish they would have more outdoor school.
It meant everything to me.
Well, we are here to talk about a show you just opened, Othello, the Remix, at Portland Actors Conservatory, which you directed, and it's an imaginative reworking of Shakespeare's classic play Othello but with hip hop music. And I understand that you have a huge cast and you're working with the students of Portland Actors Conservatory, and I've heard nothing but great things about it. So tell us more about Othello, the remix.
Yes, I had the amazing opportunity to direct this incredible piece. I ran into Beth Harper, the artistic director for Portland Actors Conservatory, in the hallway at Artist Rep. And it was literally, she knew I loved musicals and I directed musicals. And she heard that from some actor or somebody. And she was like, "Do you direct musicals?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "We should talk." And then the next day, she said she had her eyes and ears on getting the rights for this. And I said, "Wait, did you just say hip hop?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm down. I would love to be part of this." So that's all she wrote at that moment. And then when I got into the audition room, as an director, actor, I think I had my own preconceived notions of what I thought I would like to cast. And then I think it was just the pure raw talent of the individual students blew me out of the water, especially Juliet. Yes, Juliet is Othello, and she is a woman, and she is a strong, black, incredible, confident woman, and she is leading us, and I couldn't be more happier to have her as our title role. And Wolfie Bachman is Iago, and he is also a man of color. So I saw this, I was blown away by them in the audition, and it made me realize that they were actually casting it for me just on their individual talent, and that I was my job to fill in the rest.
So it sounds like you have a great cast, and it's very exciting too when you have something that, I mean, it's so very different from Shakespeare, right? Because it's what, 80 minutes or 90 minutes now?
Yeah, 90 minutes, and it's not meter. There is no Shakespeare lines in it. It is pure poetry, flowetry. It's not all there are like moments of silence and kind of just rhythm lines spoken. But for about 75% of it is put to a hip hop beat. And that was fun and amazing to first, the way we got the music was trying to identify who could sing, who could rap. And then from there, we begin to give parts and say, okay, you take this one, you take this one. But just to see where they were in the beginning and their nerves of, am I a rapper? Can I do this? It wasn't about it. It was about owning up to who you are as an artist. And all that stuff started to fall into place.
Well, and also, it seems like you use the students very well, and one of them is actually doing the music, right?
Yes, Curtis, he is our assistant director. The music was outdated, to say the least. We had the opportunity to have some of the music changed, and luckily, we had a person who actually makes beats and a few friends who helped him compose a few. So that was amazing, having someone write with me right when we're looking at the beat in the moment and deciding, what does this sound like? What's the timbre of it? So there was a lot of moments where I would look at Curtis and I'd be like, this is ominous. And he'd be like, I got you. And it was just kind of a great relationship from there.
I'm Dee Mae Roberts. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm talking with Portland actor, singer, storyteller, and director Vin Chambry, and he just opened a show he directed at Portland Actors Conservatory. It's called Othello the Remix, and it runs through November 11th at Artist Repertory Theater's Morrison Stage. You can get more info at pac.edu as well as stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. You know, Vin, it seems like, you know, when I read about Othello the Remix, it was basically created by like four white guys, let's just be frank here, and you really turned it into something else. You really went into the script and reworked the whole thing, reimagined it. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I think I wanted to have a bunch of elements. I wanted, first of all, there's this idea of what hip hop is, and hip hop is a culture, and it's just as if you can be black, white, orange, and if you walk into a museum, you actually look at the painting and you decide if you don't like it or not, and you move on, but you actually give it a second. So I say, why can't you do the same to hip hop? There is this social kind of, there's this social idea that it's too loud, it's not for me, it's rugged, it's street, it's poverty. It's all that and more. It's beautiful. It's poetry. It's the streets. It's heartache. It's joy. It's pain. And I think when I saw that, I'm like, that's Shakespeare in itself. So how can we pay respect to Shakespeare? I thought it would be great to keep an almost like cast that is on stage the whole entire time, and then they transition into their roles accordingly, but it's almost a chorus within. So paying homage to Shakespeare in that sense. And then the students were, there was a bunch of singers and movers and dancers, and I looked at them and I was like, don't shy away from that. If you can do that, let me know. So the first week I told them to write down, what are the things that make you happy? And I would always say, what are the things that you have in your toolbox? Can you beatbox? Can you play the ukulele? Can you do pirouettes? Because to me, as an artist, we can use all that as we go along in the journey. And to me, I just feel like it can make the students feel empowered as we go along, and it did. So we have a show that is led by incredible young women that have taken a piece and made it their own with masculinity mixed with vulnerability, with still keeping the integrity of Othello and the story of betrayal and jealousy. But in our version, Wolfie, who plays Iago, is basically, he's the MC who isn't as good enough to Othello, but he just strives and he's so jealous of it. So then he plants the seeds accordingly to ruin her. And basically the end is he puts Othello's chain with Cassio, and then that's when the betrayal starts. And yeah, gotta come see it.
And so I guess you have all the elements of the story of Othello, which is very powerful, but it's recast with a woman I love as Othello. And you know, I just, you're also an instructor at Portland Actors Conservatory, and I just have always been impressed with the level of skills and experience and talent at the school. You want to talk to that?
I have the exciting opportunity of working, these students are all second year, and basically they're all their classes the first year are all preparing them for this opportunity. They have stage classes, they have stage combat, they have stage management. And so basically I got them on this exciting journey of they're ready to be on the stage, of artist rep, to enunciate and be who they are. So I got them at a great opportunity. Their talent level blew me away in terms of the risk-taking of how different they are. And to me, it was like more, because it started to shape the show based on how current they are and what they believe in now, which is, in our political times, the youth is the answer. And the more and more we can empower them to be themselves, it was just icing on the cake to see what they're doing. And yeah, I mean, so the talent level to me is something that I did not expect, but them understanding what it is to be a young professional on artist rep stage is they're delivering.
What are some of your favorite moments of Othello, the remix?
I always would say page 60, because page 60, I would tell them from 60 to page 100 is no more jokes. It's all about what's happening in the mind of Othello, and the betrayal, the lying. From there is where we as audience members will understand that there's no way out for this person unless they realize for themselves. So it's this one song where Juliet starts, "Now if you're lying and trying to destroy something so beautiful, a serial killer couldn't believe of what I would do to you." And she's saying that to Iago. And that to me is like, that's where things get cooking. Of like, here we go. Like, it's this way or that way. And yeah, that's one of the, I get goosebumps in that moment watching them. And they're students. And they're not students when they're on stage. They're just young professionals being open and vulnerable.
Well, there's one weekend left that you can see Othello the Remix at Portland Actors Conservatory. And it runs through November 11th at Artist Repertory Theater's Morrison Stage. And you can get tickets and more info at pac.edu. And I have all of that info at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. I'm DMA Roberts with Vin Chambry. And it's such a pleasure to have you here on Stage and Studio. Now, let's talk a brief moment about your acting career. You're a resident artist at Artist Repertory Theater, and you just finished a wonderful performance run of Skeleton Crew, directed by William Earl Ray, and a show that just focused on factory workers in Detroit. And I had such an honor to see that. Such a wonderful cast and great direction. It was just a great production. And how often do you get to do, like, you know, represent, like, blue-collar workers, too?
Never. And I think I remember there was a lot of audience members saying how much they enjoyed it. And to me, the beauty about that piece was in theater, a lot of times you play, you know, you play people who are heightened and people who are sometimes not like the normal person. Skeleton Crew is about your neighbor, your mother, your grandmother, your grandfather. It's about the American dream and how individually how we fight for it. And I think it was about the human condition, and I think that there's no way you couldn't relate to it. So as an actor, it was really great to, for me playing Dez, he was the one where people would doubt or call him a liar, or but to me, I think he was just fighting for what he believed in the circumstances of what he was dealt with. So it was a joy to work with the cast. I'm also excited about, I just got an amazing part in Wolf Play, which is happening kind of at the end of the season. And it's a world premiere. So I'm super excited to be part of that. And we'll see. Stay tuned for that.
Well, congratulations on another show at Artist Rep. Are you doing anything else in this season? I mean, what else is going on for you?
I am taking care of my amazing children and being with my amazing wife. So much is going on in our life. We just finished a tiny house in our backyard. So yes, I'm trying to understand life as well as being an actor. Yeah.
Well, you grew up in Portland. I mean, you performed on Broadway and you did several national tours and then you moved back here. When did you move back here?
2004. Yeah. Wow. It's a long time from now.
Well, I was just wondering if what changes you noticed then, and also just what changes you're noticing now in Portland. What strikes you the most?
Wow. As an artist or just...
I think as just a community member, but also, you know, the Portland theater scene too.
I think when I first came here, I always say this, is I, living in New York, I think if you live in New York or LA, you understand the hustle of what it takes to be an artist in general. And I think that is what I learned there, was it wasn't just about being an actor. It was about having voiceovers. It wasn't just about being an actor. It was about all the things in my toolbox to make me be successful as an artist. And I translated that here. But I remember when I first came back, I was just on edge because my girlfriend at the time had her purse at a restaurant and I couldn't stop looking at the purse that was on the table because I was just like, it's going to get stolen. People are going to happen. I was like, wait, we're in Portland. We're not in New York anymore. Relax, babe. And I remember I was this on-edgeness that I couldn't get away. And then kind of a year into moving back to Portland, I was like back to normal in, you know, the vibe, but never lost that eagerness of, if I'm doing a project, how we're going to follow through, what's the logistical plans. So I think that I've never lost that from living in the city that's translated me here. But I think I've been really excited by the artists of color that have been directing, been writing, that have been now not afraid to utilize their strengths and not just be part of shows for other people. So I think that that's what I've seen in the theater community that has made me really excited and ignited to write my own things.
What do you think that we could improve on in Portland theater?
Everyone says that dialogue is crucial, and I think so too, but I think being a better listener to people's oppressions or experiences is the key. Because once you listen, you'll start to understand that there are certain things you can relate to, but there are certain things you do not relate to. And you need to stop deciding that and be better listeners, I think, when it comes to people's feelings, POCs, actors of color, because I think it's time now. We live in a world where it's just not about producing your art. It's actually about you're saying it because you have something to say. And it's, I mean, I'm the perfect person where I talk to my family all the time where I have a busted taillight on my car and I think about it all the time. And we know I think about it because possibly I cannot be here anymore. But my wife drives that car and doesn't even think about it. And my wife is not. My wife is white. And so that alone is something that I think about constantly. But I'm also an artist, a daddy, and all these other things, these other hats that I have to wear. So if people can listen to that and be sympathetic or understand, I think we would be on a better path. So it means everything to me, just like my busted tail light.
It seems to me that there have always been issues regarding theater of color in Portland from, you know, I pretty much moved up here in the early 90s. And it seemed to me then there was a lot of emphasis on multicultural works and a lot of people who, I don't know if you were there during that time, but just, you know, just really people who were committed to it in their seasons, as well as just producing more original work from people of color. And I think we're coming back to that time, but there was a time where I probably in the 2000s when you moved back here, it seemed like we forgot about all of that.
Absolutely. I believe that there was this article talking about this is the time for artists of color because this is your opportunity to stand up and fight. And as an artist of color, first of all, I'm like, who is writing that? And are you a person of color? Because I don't think you are. Because everything I do is for my life and my family. And if you think that this is the time for us to, you know, just exude our talent, that's where you're wrong. You just haven't been listening. And that is all we need is equal space to be heard. And if you can listen, you can see our artistry, you can see our pain, you can see our vulnerability. Personally, for me, I'm always trying to understand my masculinity and understanding how toxic it can be around men and how we talk around women. And when we're not around women, how we do that and how I can abstain that and hold other men who are my close friends accountable. That kind of stuff is scary. But I'm not afraid to show it as a man of color to let a lot of people realize that I'm not what you think and what you see on TV. And so if I can stay emotionally available to my friends, my peers, and my other artists, I hope I'm doing the right thing.
Well, I also understand when you talk about all of your work that I thought I read on your website that you have a book coming out, mm-hmm. and you also have a music album. Is that true?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yes. Doo-wop hip hop is one of my favorite things I like to do. Back in the day, my mom used to sing old black spirituals, and I just loved it. I don't think I ever really sang, but I was always really, really conscious of it. And my first child, I would always sing, nobody knows the trouble I see. And I just, like, a few of my friends, we would actually record that and put it up on a loop. And I was like, ooh, that sounds nice. Maybe I could, like, sing on the top of that. Actually, I could rap a little bit. And it turned into kind of doing some spoken word. And it turned out to be almost an album. So yeah, we're going to do that. We're releasing that in April. And my book is called Shame. And it is 37 short stories of my life as a kid growing up in Portland. It's grown over a few years of really realizing what it is. And it comes down to poverty and me 36 years later now, understanding why I am the way I am. And it's also paying respect to the 12-year-old boy and letting him know that I love him. And I've never done that. And I mean, I would always say, if every kid of color had an opportunity to meditate, and if they had a therapist, yep, I'ma say it, I never had someone let me talk. So I think that it has changed my life and it has made me write stories. And that's how it kind of started.
Wow. So in April, all this is happening and we're going to have you on because, you know, you've got the makings. You can sing and you can do a reading. You got the makings of this great tour.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's time to truly express me and I can see it now in young students who look up to me that I can't shy away from it anymore and I must be present for them and I have to share my story so I can get them to write their own.
Is that the advice you give them?
Every time. I was exactly where you are with the saggy pants, the backwards hat, but I'm telling you, you are enough and you are talented. And we need to figure out how to hone it.
That's empowerment. I just want to mention one more time, Portland Actors Conservatory presents Othello the Remix, directed by Vin Chambry. All shows are at Art Conservatory Theater, located at 1515 Southwest Morrison Street in Portland. The show runs through November 11th, Thursdays through Saturdays. Show times are evening 7:30 and Sundays at 2 p.m. And for more info and tickets, visit pac.edu. I have that info, as well as the podcast of this interview at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Vin Chambry, what a pleasure to talk with you. Any final thoughts on the play or anything else you want to mention?
Yeah, just fill the seats for them. These students have worked so hard, and to see this incredibly strong, confident, beautiful, diverse cast of students who genuinely love each other, work through a process together, you can see it on stage. So I think we need to validate them by being in the seats and moving our heads. And yes, everybody can do that.
It's so great to have you here. Thanks for joining me here and trekking all the way to my office mm-hmm. studio. And such a pleasure to talk with you. So, Vin Chambry, yes. Before we go today, a short announcement. Golden Crown Literary Society presents a book launch by former Portland writer Sandra DeHellen and my friend who's coming back here this Sunday, November 11th at Tabor Space from 2 to 4 p.m. The full-length collection of poetry is called Desire Returns for a Visit, Intimate Poems About Lesbian Love. And it's published by Point Press, and Sandra's going to read from her book, and she's invited Kathleen Sadat, Ila Suzanne Gray, and G.L. Morrison to read their poetry as well. So, and some music too. Naomi Little Bear Moreno provides music for this free event, and it's at Tabor Space, located at 5441 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. That's 5441 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. We're going out with music by Naomi Little Bear Moreno, and that's it for Stage and Studio. Have the show online at stageandstudio.org, kbu.fm/stageandstudio as well, and also on iTunes. Like us on facebook.com/stage, the letter N, studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Top Dog Underdog, running Friday, November 9th at the Chapel Theater in Milwaukee. Top Dog Underdog tells the story of a sibling rivalry between African-American brothers in a turbulent relationship punctuated with dark humor. Their names are Lincoln and Booth. This show has adult content and is not recommended for children. Again, that's Top Dog Underdog, running Friday, November 9th at the Chapel Theater, 4107 Southeast Harrison Street in Milwaukee. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Coming up next on KBOO, Art Focus talks to curator Mary Beth Graybill about the Portland Art Museum's show Poetic Imagination in Japanese Art. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Portland 5 Centers for the Arts, presenting Mystery Science Theater 3000 live Friday, November 9th at Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall, featuring The Brain at the 7 p.m. showtime and Deathstalker 2 at 10 p.m. More information is online at portland5.com.
Hi there. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO FM 90.7 Portland Community Radio. My name is Eric Bartels. On October 13th, Portland Art Museum raised the curtain on an exhibit called Poetic Imagination in Japanese Art. Most of the works in the exhibit have never been seen by the public. Our guest today is Mary Beth Graybill, who is the Arlene and Harold Schnitzer Curator of Asian Art for the Portland Art Museum and the curator of the